The views and opinions expressed in this presentation are those of the producer and those appearing in this show, and do not necessarily represent the views of
everything
Dairy King, the town
in
of
its
Dairy,
place,
or
and everything
staff.
Is mine. I can't help but feel good. I can't help but feel fine. Everything is in its place, and all of it is mine.
Ooh, I can't help but smile.
My name is Thomas E. Donovan. And I'm here with my wonderful host, Gail Brenna Nastasia, author of The Fruit You'll Never See. We want to welcome you to our show. Here we discuss all topics regarding mental health, substance abuse, treatment options, the mental health system, and we will cover these topics by inviting guests from all facets of recovery, treatment, enforcement, and policy. The door is wide open, and we want to be a resource. We take topic suggestions, we welcome feedback, and this show is always dedicated to my friend and recovery warrior, Craig Barnaby, who dedicated his life to the well-being of others. Today we are blessed and honored to have our guest, Mo O'Neill. Mo O'Neill is an author and is a member of Al-Anon. So Mo, pleasure to have you on our show. Do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and maybe a little bit about Al-Anon as well?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. And, you know, when it comes to recovery, wow, you know, we do an awful lot these days. You know, we've certainly have from the technology to get the meetings going. I've been with Al-Anon, I guess, over 43 years, you know.
Wow,
and, yeah, it's a long time. And I hate to put it like that because it makes it sound like, you know, a qualification or something. That's not really the way it works.
Yeah.
It's a day at a time. And I think we all know that, right?
Right.
So, yeah, in 81, I was a teenager, and you know what? I didn't get a lot of direction, and I came from an alcoholic home, and, yeah, just really getting into trouble. You know, school was a problem, the whole nine yards, and, you know, my father was the alcoholic, and my mother probably worked about five different jobs just to keep everything going, you know? And, you know, I also saw a lot of cool things, too. She was also a police officer, so that was kind of inspiring, you know,
yeah.
You know, that right and wrong aspect.
Where was she a police officer?
She was a police officer in the Wilmington Tewksbury.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. And so that was quite a while back, but I always like to give some, you know.
A lot in common.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know what?
Like
you
we
could,
were talking about earlier.
Absolutely. Yeah. My grandfather was also a police officer in the area as well, so we come from a police family. And, you know, and then Al-Anon came into our lives, and my mom got it first. And I was grateful for that because I saw the changes that went on in the house, you know. My mother was able to go through the separation and divorce process. And I'm sure with the help of and support of going to meetings. I think that's the bread and butter here.
Did he get sober, your dad?
You know, he didn't. And, you know, he died of alcoholism.
Oh,
and, yeah, fairly young, too. But, you know, that's just part and parcel to the disease, I
it
think.
Is.
And
that's true.
You know, so... That's kind of how that went, and I saw a lot of the changes, and for me, you know, my mother probably had a good eye that, you know, I needed some direction. So back in the early 80s, even the late 70s, they had adolescent treatment centers, which we don't really have much today.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, places where kids could get guidance, they could get to meetings, they could get the support they needed, and preferably having a lot of peers around them.
Now, we know what Al-Anon is.
Yeah.
And a lot of our audience may know, but could you kind of tell people what Al-Anon is?
Okay, well, Al-Anon is a place to bring your stuff to, you know, regular meetings for people that have been affected by alcohol primarily, but today I guess we wrap it up in substance abuse disorder, and mental health, you know. One of Al-Anon's earliest books called Al-Anon Faces Alcoholism speaks about just getting to meetings, and again, they're all 12-step, and I'm going to be very clear about it, the 12 steps have just one word change, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or whatever. We were powerless over whatever it can be.
Gambling or drugs or alcohol.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they use the same format and the same script, and they just, you know, change out the word because it's so powerful. And people hear the repetition of it. They get to meetings, plentiful, and especially today on Zoom. I mean, there's no way not to get there and to reach out with people and, you know, kind of walk them through what you've learned, you know. So when I was young, I was an Al-Ateen.
Yeah,
and Al-Ateen was just with a bunch of kids talking about what's going on. No different than any of the meetings today.
Right.
And I happened to do really well with that. You know, I learned how to put my stuff out. You know what I mean? And, you know, I had a lot of stuff that had happened earlier in my youth. You know, unfortunately, there comes a lot of loss, you know, and just not a lot of guidance. So
I hear trauma when I hear you tell just a little bit about what you said. I know you didn't get into details. Which you,
yeah, you know, when I was young, we had a couple of instances where in the town I grew up in, I think in the middle of the 70s, we had a small plane crash that came through and just wiped out a handful of homes. Everyone got a little bit of debris in their yard. And, you know, it was yellow tape everywhere, and it had been deemed that the pilot was drunk three times the level.
Wow.
You know, and that's all. That's, you can find that online and everything. But I had known firsthand, you know, when you have a police family, you get to know a lot of information.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he shouldn't have been in the air. Nevertheless, anybody driving a car, you know, if you're drinking like that. And so, but nobody got hurt on the ground, which is amazing. You know,
which is, yeah,
it is a great story. And the pilot died. It was a suicide. And I was about 8 years old. And when that happened, I can remember just going around the neighborhood saying, what's suicide? What's suicide? You know, and there wasn't a lot of guidance. Like today we have all sorts of guidance counselors, Salvation Army, people coming out to help, you know, people with issues. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
It didn't happen back then. So, you know, but though I will tell you, I certainly was able to you know, move on. That story, it was probably one of the first stories I shared in Alateen because, you know, it was something I could speak to.
Yeah.
I went to Alateen, too.
Oh, another one. There you go. Yeah.
Because I was in a foster home. So that's where I was 15. I was in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
So that was kind of, you know, I was more on the AA side than the Alateen. Although I do qualify across the board.
Everything, yes.
But is there a lot of similarities between...
There is. They're all 12-step based.
Right.
The only thing I notice now, there's not a lot of... I don't know how much Alateen there is around, but I haven't seen anything.
No, that all... Especially with the pandemic. When the pandemic came, it rolled up quick, primarily because of... we couldn't get out. We couldn't get to meetings. And so what they were telling people, and from World Service, which is in Virginia Beach, they were like, no, just send them to Al-Anon. I mean, because technically that's really the same problem. They may hear some difficult stories, perhaps, but, you know, they're going to learn them anyway.
They probably lived it anyway.
Right.
Because
I
know what my experience was, and I had already experienced so much by then.
Yeah, a lot of trauma. And
a ton of trauma.
You know, I mean, just crazy stuff that, you know, you see growing up. And I'll tell you, the first benefits of what Alateen was, I'll tell you, when I had started going to meetings, one particular summer night, I was walking down the street with my friend, and my friend was on her sixth foster home. So, you know, I chose her because, you know what, when you come from an alcoholic home, nobody's going to be too picky about, you know, how perfect you are or whatever. And so we became friends. So we're walking home, and this guy comes by in an old pickup junk. And he goes, hey, girls, you want to go to a party at Hal Parker? And that was an old party place.
Right.
And before you know it, she jumped in the back of the truck, and they took off. And I was like, man, that can't be good.
Right.
And I knew that because, you know, I was taught to make some better decisions.
Right.
And that's all through this program, Alateen, Al-Anon, and that's kind of what it does. So what happened is... 3 o'clock in the morning, she come knocking at our door, and I know why. First of all, she had been attacked and beaten and raped, and my mother, being a police officer, was able to address the situation, which was, you know, and I think that's maybe she knew where to go.
Right.
And so, you know, and I remember crying and being really upset about this, and I said, geez, if I had gone with you, it wouldn't have happened. And she said, no, Mo. If you had gone, it would have happened to you, too.
Right.
Right.
You know, and how smart. You know, and I actually shared that story for the first time on a Zoom meeting, the first time we wanted to, you know, kind of lockdown or whatever you want to call it. And it occurred to me that, you know what, afterwards, I don't do this all the time or ever. I just Googled her name because, I never knew whatever became of her.
Right.
You know, and she's been a social worker in the field for over 35 years, working with at-risk youths.
Wow.
So maybe there's something else guiding you know, her and all of us, really.
Have you ever thought to reach out to her?
You know, I did, but I figured this much. With my luck, I'll probably go to Market Basket and see her in the produce section.
Right.
I think I meet everybody
like
at Market Basket.
Like you meet Gail.
No, we ran into each other at Walmart.
Yeah, or Walmart.
Right.
Great leader,
very similar. Yeah, I love it. Mm.
So I've been doing this for just a long time. You know, I had to show up at meetings. I've been doing outreach back in the day. You know, we used to bring all our stuff to, like, libraries, hospitals, you name it, police stations, so people would know, you know, that there was something out there. If you were affected by alcohol, drugs, et cetera, and if it got into domestic issues.
And who isn't?
But, right. Yeah, out of the gate.
I mean, I would be surprised to find somebody that hasn't been impacted in one way or another.
And there's still very few treatment options, supports for families. I mean, there's some, you know, but very limited.
Yeah. And, Al-Anon's a big one.
Al-Anon is huge. I mean, we have assemblies. We've got all over the map. I mean, what Zoom brought us, I mean, I sponsor people in you know, Scotland, Sri Lanka. I mean, we're all over the map because we can. We have that electronic meeting guide in there where at any time you can go in and dial up a meeting.
So tell us, where is that? Where is that guide? How do we find that guide?
Okay, you can go on to Al-Anon Family Groups, and you can go into
AlAnonFamilyGroups.com.
You got or .org.
Oh, okay.
And where that will bring you is into their website, and then you go into meeting lists, and there you will find the electronic meetings, and wherever you are, it'll just, like, you know, get you where you need to be.
Any in-person?
Yeah, our in-persons have opened up quite a bit. You know, I know that the Merrimack Valley, which I'm from, they're all open. And and they're all good, you know. And so that's, I think we worked really hard of getting the message out. Yeah. And I do half and half. I do half Zoom, half in person.
Right.
And I think there's a value of that good mental health piece, you know. We go back to that first book of Al-Anon Faces Alcoholism, which was actually one of the very first Al-Anon pieces. It really talks more about, you know, staying connected and good mental health. And we figure this much, that if we're been, you know, in lockdown for so long, it was such a hard transition for us, and people needed people. We need people. We need you, you know? And that's kind of how that works. And, you know, I need you, you need me. And that's really what this is all about, you know? We don't do this gig alone, and I have been working with people for years. And I think my Alateen days helped me because I was used to having a couple of Alateen sponsors that would take a whole bunch of kids, and they knew how to direct them. Again, direction, you know.
Right.
So what I so desperately needed growing up, I learned to do very well, and that's what we do today.
Yeah, and I was thinking, too, you know, like when I came into AA, I thought I knew how to live.
Mm.
I thought I knew how to survive, and that's what you learn in Al-Anon, is you learned how to live because you are learning things you didn't get from your family of origin, from your, you know.
Well, you did know how to survive. You didn't know how to live.
I didn't know how to. All right, good point.
Yeah,
good way to switch.
Because I knew how to survive.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to flip that.
Yeah,
it wasn't a happy existence for sure.
Right.
You know, I always said I learned how to be a better husband, or or even know what love is, really.
Yeah, I mean, Al-Anon brings a lot of the relationship pieces, you know, whether it be, you know, with a marital partnership, if it's a single parent raising kids, grandkids, that's a big one now.
Yeah.
People are raising their grandkids.
Right.
Yeah. And they're doing a darn good job of it as well.
Thankfully, I'm not.
I used to say that. Yes, exactly. me neither. No.
I'm
an empty nester, and I like it. I like it a whole lot. My life is altogether different.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have a lot of outreach, and I do that. I've been doing that forever. And
what kind of outreach?
You know, literature, getting, you know, newcomer packages out, phone lists, and making sure that people know where to go. I mean, there's probably not a day that goes by I don't send something out. And I like to do some of the old-fashioned, because throw a couple stamps on it, and here's a newcomer. And then I'll put it, like, my phone number on, like, Mo, and here it is. And they connect, you know. And then before you know it, people don't feel so alone. And I think that's the big piece.
So you said direction, and I thought connection. So direction and connection, right? Those are the two things that I needed.
Oh, absolutely.
Too?
I was wondering the same thing.
We think a lot.
We do.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, well, when I think commitment, like, someone asked me, like, just to do this. It's like, Mo, would you? I was like, sure. You know, I know how to show up. And that's something we know in all our meetings.
Absolutely.
You show up, and, I mean, unless you're really laid out, you know, really ill, that's one thing. But we show up, and that's a big part of it. I mean, that's ultimately the I use that for everything. Sometimes things you just don't want to do is, like, oh, for good sakes, just show up.
Right.
You
know,
And the rest falls into place, you know, like tonight, it has fallen into place. And to be able to speak to, you know, what Al-Anon is, and, you know, everyone's welcome. Observers, you know, anybody that has been affected. And, you know, today the resources are ridiculous, you know, because of the Zoom. I guess it's phone. They had something called Footbridge years back that was kind of like more just, you know, on the phone. But this has just hit everybody, and it's available. I mean, we have people all over the world. I've seen people, celebrities and all that, going under different names and everything. It don't matter. You don't have to put your name in.
Exactly.
I don't care if you put, you know, Bozo or Joe or who cares, you know.
Does Al-Anon have a 24-hour meeting on Zoom?
You know, occasionally they do. What I know of when we do our, like, when you guys do your Elkathons, we'll sometimes tag into that and do, like, Lois Remembers. You know, Lois is the other, the spouse of Bill W.
Right. Oh.
Okay, so we'll do that. And so during the holidays, they'll just keep it open. And I think her birthday was just the other day, too. So they had something going up at, up in Vermont. I think that's where they were from.
Dorset.
So that has been good. But again, getting the message out, staying consistent and being available and just finding a way to bring it into your life. And and that's you know, I've, like I said, many years, I got to see adult children of Al-Anon come into being, and that was a real coming-of-age story. I got to write about that, and that's in some of my literature. And, you know, I just got to see the changes. I can remember voting in books in old, you know, Westboro. We had some of our offices in Braintree. Well, we would absolutely, you know, like you see at any business meeting, you'd vote in pages, you know, and today we've come a long way because our literature that we're making today is a more inclusive to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter nationality, race, creed, sex, whatever.
AA is very male-oriented.
It is.
Very heavy.
And that may come around, too. Maybe, again, we have to follow out other...
I think
it's not looking good.
It's not,
but I heard some
good.
Actually...
People are very stuck in there. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well,
they're
of that mentality.
Yeah.
This has been something that's been extreme success, and we don't want to mess with it.
All right. Yeah.
There was a big debate in an AA meeting, one of the meetings I go to, that they wanted to change the preamble to say include people.
Which is,
and
I mean,
was, and it, when
oh
I
my
tell
God.
You,
God forbid, right?
But it was a big debate. It was a big debate because I think it's fear based. People are fearful.
Oh, it's absolutely fear based.
People are fearful. Yeah. This changes the whole program.
It's going to fall apart.
So, but.
I think
you're
I'm good.
Good.
I won't move.
Don't move.
I'm not moving. So let's talk about your writing.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. First of all, you know, about 10 plus years back, I got a friend of mine, she's a publisher, and she was doing a book series, and she said, Mo, can you weigh in on it? You know, and I had some stuff, you know, and it was about invisible disabilities and... you know, and it was a great read, and it was a great write. I just contributed a story, you know, in regards to making changes on, you know, going through a divorce and trying to make, you know, connect all the dots so, you know what, my young one at the time could stay in her school system. You know, we could work the parenting plan and all that good stuff. And so I got to write a little bit more, you know. And then I've always just stayed with any of the forum stuff. I could always write my stuff. And sometimes I'd do it anonymous if it felt, you know, it was really just too personal. And that's the other gift of anonymity. You know, we all have that in these 12-step programs. We can, you know, put what we want out in what we're comfortable. I put things in different names. I've written it under different names. Why not, you know? Why? If it frees you up, who cares? And
but you write under your own name as well.
Yes, I do. And matter of fact, some of the stuff for the series, for the Annika series, I had found that to be really cool because if you haven't seen it, you know, turn it on and get connected with it because not only is it a good police procedural, though it really brings a lot of family life involved.
What is the series?
So the series can... is a Marine. What is it? Homicide, sorry, like that.
That's okay.
Marine homicide unit, which means they deal with, you know, water and drowning.
And what's the name of it again? I'm sorry.
It's called the Annika TV series, and it's on PBS, Masterpiece, little plug for it. Not that it needs that help, but, but the thread of how it's written, their episodes spoke to me so deeply, you know, and then I found myself just adding in, you know, storylines, and I started putting threads together, and then I sent them out some scripts. And, you know, there's a big turnaround with that in time, so I don't know whether it's anything. But, you know, I keep it going because it keeps me going. I'm an empty nester. I've got the time. I've got a good mind to be able to do this stuff. And, you know, and it kind of, you know, it's nice, too, because I write a lot of my experiences in my program in that.
Because, that's what I was going to ask. Do you write about?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. When years ago, my young sister, when she was six, she was pulled under in Hampton.
Oh, you told the story
yes,
when you spoke.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was able to save her.
Wow.
And, you know, and that was very life-changing in a million and one ways. And so I was able to write an extended piece on that for one of their episodes.
Wow.
You know, and I have a lot of fun doing it, you know. And I think that's what it is. Once it's not fun, then, you know, you find something else
right.
to do. But
yeah.
this is really cool because you're also delivering some recovery. And I do write a lot of Al-Anon and young people's AA.
Nice.
Because some of the characters in there are drinking at a young age. And if you're not familiar with it, a lot of people are. Young people of AA.
So you, yeah. is it fiction you're writing?
No, no, no. This is just, well, yeah, you know what? Right, yeah, it could be construed as that. But I just tag on to their storylines of what they've got mm-hmm. and what I could do to take it a step further and give them some more ideas and craft points, you know, because mm-hmm. some of it's just so damn good, you know. And that's what I go with, you know.
So it's kind of preventative. It's to help educate.
Well, you know, these series are actual, you know, TV series that, you know, are written for entertainment,
right.
Drama. They have a little dark comedy because, you know, the Brits. They
right.
like to put that in. But we like it, too, you know,
we
so
absolutely.
It's a good deal.
I love dark comedy.
Oh, my God. So that right there, it's worth to try. And I'll tell you, it's so easy to fall into it because before you know it, it's like, oh, my God, you know. And they use this concept called the fourth wall. If you don't know it, I'll briefly tell you. Fourth wall
Please.
Is this. Is as they are filming in you're watching this show and series, the lead actor will turn to the camera and ask you what you think. And they bring you right
that.
In.
I love that.
So I've given you something to think about, and maybe you can put you know a little plug into the series, but it's really fun to watch, and
That's
it just spoke to me. I can just go on. And I have another series, too, that I'm going to start with and get some things out. I may... But
nice.
You know what? When it comes to life stuff, recovery, you know, police stuff, conservation stuff, that was right up my alley because I did
Absolutely.
Conservation years back. So
a question came to mind on another topic. Did your mother drink? Because
Mm-mm.
I'm very curious because that was the police culture back then.
You know, no, she didn't. I think
wow.
she was too busy working all her jobs right. to make up for the drunk.
Right.
You know?
And he was doing it for
right.
the whole
of my God, yeah.
Yeah, it just came to me. I said, I got to ask.
No, you know, no, these are great questions because, you know, plus back in the 60s and 70s, well, 50s, 60s and 70s, everybody
yeah.
was drinking, and everybody came from a military well, home by
yeah.
default.
Yeah.
And years ago, I was at a, I think it was a Concord prison. They were doing a, something, they were just bringing all the, you know, AA Al-Anon.
Yeah.
And this gentleman spoke. He was an older man. He'd been in, like, World War II. And he talked about being in all the wars, and years ago they used to drop off, you know, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes,
yep.
because of the shell-shocked, being
yeah.
shell-shocked trauma. They
yeah.
knew that the average person would not be able to take it in.
Right.
So I understood then why it infiltrated through the house, and most people had military homes.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I have a friend that said, oh, my God, we used to have to bounce quarters off our bed. Because we didn't make them
yeah.
good enough,
right?
You know,
right.
and
Quartus.
Then you go into another home that had a, you know, military dad or mom, and they were loose as a goose. They didn't care. Oh yeah,
right.
just throw it over there. Who cares?
So
right.
what it makes me think about. I mean, obviously, I'm a writer. You know,
yeah.
just that the things that I didn't even know were possible. You know, back then when I. Well, I mean, you've been in recovery for a long time. I've been in recovery for a long time
yes,
too.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
just I didn't know. That the sky was the limit. You know, I didn't know that I had
yeah.
all the options, all the same options as other people. And I think a lot of people, and one of the reasons why we do the show is for that very reason.
It's so, both examples of if you could do anything you want to, if number one, you don't drink,
yep.
or you do recover, yep. or you put your mind to it.
Absolutely, and being able to help others.
And getting confidence in yourself. We talk about that.
Yeah.
Just meetings, calls, bread and butter. And you don't do this alone, no matter what program you're in, because that's the whole thing. You connect, especially with our phones and the way it's set up. There's no way not to win, really.
Right.
You know, we become more of a success story because we're able to not do it alone. And people need that guidance. Again, back to the guidance and the connections. And that's kind of what this is all about. And, you know, just teaching the young ones to do it, you know, and the people that are not familiar with it, you know, or the people that are disabled or impaired. And I came with a lot of that myself. So, you know, just getting around sometimes wasn't always easy. And, you know, so we've really come a long way.
Talk a little bit about that.
Disabilities. Oh, my God. I was born with something... neurotube defect, spina bifida, and that affected a lot of my early life and a lot of congenital issues. And, you know, and thankfully, though, you know, my mom always got me to, you know, what they had available back then.
Right.
And so it's more my later life. I'm finding that, you know, I've had a lot of spine surgeries and, you know, just I'm what they call a pivot person because I can't fully turn because I'm completely, well, not completely, but, you know, enough where, like these chairs are great, you know, I can just, I can just spin around. But that's, you know, so that's, and visually, I've visually impaired, and with all the bright lights, I'm glad I went back and took these glasses because I wouldn't be able to have made it through. But yeah, you know, I find ways to navigate. And that's the other thing, too, the way we compensate. Compensation's big. You know, I'm familiar with Perkins School of the Blind. I just happen to know some people out there. I've been out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, years ago, I went into Ann Sullivan and Helen Keller's, I think they call it cottage or lodge.
Oh.
And it was all roped off, right?
Yeah.
And so I said to the, like, maintenance guy, I said, can I get in there? Because I just felt the need to go in and see it, like, in person. And I did, and I got in, and there on the wall, big as life, it said, the most wonderful things in this world cannot be seen. They must be felt from the heart.
Wow.
And I found it so moving, you know.
Yeah.
It spoke to me,
and
it was a wonderful experience, and I'm glad I had that, you know. I've been known to cut through a lot of those things to get in. Last one was a Museum of Fine Arts at 18.
I would probably do that, too.
Yeah. I was told never to come back again.
Right.
I was scaling the I think it was a sarcophagus and pyramid thing.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go. You know, never put it past me. I'm always looking for the adventure. But, you know, today we do it safe, and we do it together.
That's a great segue into the end here.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, really, it's amazing to have you, Mo, and it's good to good to get that other side of it. You know, that we talk a lot about, you know, the people about us using
and
about people who are affected, but it's good to touch base on families and how families could get that support and where they could go for help.
Oh, absolutely,
because that's really important. And is there any, you know, you said there's websites. Are there any local? Where could someone find like a local in-person meeting?
Oh my good gosh!
Do you have any idea?
Yeah, well, I guess just making the phone call to the Westboro office.
Yeah. Awesome. So anyways, thank you again, Mo.
Oh,
we're running out
you.
Of time, and I do love to talk. So please continue to tune in. We are here to provide resources. Don't forget, if you are in crisis, dial 911. To seek services in New Hampshire, call 211. And if you are suicidal, call 988, the Suicide and Crisis Line. Just remember, ask for help, seek support, and please don't do it.
The views and opinions expressed in this presentation are those of the producer and those appearing in this show, and do not necessarily represent the views of Dairy Cam, the town of Derry, or any of its staff or affiliates.